Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 19th of April, 2020. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week's Paul spoke on Doubting Thomas. The reading was John chapter 20, verses 19 to 29. So let's go and join Paul as he's introducing the service.
Good morning, and may I welcome you once again to our live stream Sunday service from NBC. There are a couple of notices to share with you, in addition to the notice sheet you will either receive electronically or will be given with the CD. Firstly, if you need help this week, then to remind you that the church office is open Monday, Tuesday, Thursday and Friday morning, 8 till 1. Or if you need urgent help outside those hours, please ring the following number, 0769 143 7876. And secondly, to thank you, so many of you, for joining our 10 a.m. morning prayer time. It's been an encouragement for all of us that are leading them to see how many people are praying with us. I checked yesterday, and currently the average people logging on to, actually viewing our prayers each day, seems to be over 200. It's amazing. But we want to say thank you. Thank you for joining with us in prayer. And we'd like to try something new. We would like to welcome you into being part of the prayer time. So if you're able either to record a voice prayer or a video prayer of yourself, a prayer of short encouragement and peace, then can we ask you to do so, because we want to take your prayers and make a morning of our prayers. That will mean, of course, not only will you contribute, but you'll also be able to hear and see others. A wonderful way of joining as family. If you can do that, can I encourage you to send them to either Paul at or office at or Richard at minehead-baptist.com, or send us a link to the prayer, the video, whether you've put it in pCloud or iCloud or on Dropbox, and we'll try and pick it up from there. Lastly, this week, many of us have enjoyed joining in with Spring Harvest at home. If you've not been able to do so yet, and you'd like to hear some of the amazing teachings and devotionals that were shared last week, then all of that's still online. You just need to go to YouTube and type in Spring Harvest 2020, and you should find it all there. I and Lorraine have enjoyed, in one sense, joining with lots of people across the nation and across the world with what's been going on at Spring Harvest at home. At a time, friends, when we've learnt that the lockdown will last another 3 weeks, and judging by how other nations around the world are reacting and how we're likely to follow them, we'll probably have some sense of stage relaxation of the lockdown when it comes. So it could be several more weeks before all is restored. As I was doing that, pondering on that reality this week, I recognised that the Hope Centre has opened for a third day to feed the homeless and to help those with addiction issues. And all of that was going round in my mind as I clicked on a devotional from Spring Harvest led by Pete Gregg, which made me realise that the level of need within this country, indeed within our community, has never been higher. So this morning we gather against that backdrop to acknowledge our needs individually and collectively, to push ourselves to enter into the very presence of God himself this morning. It's true to say that in severe cases, COVID-19 robs people of breath. Yet at this time, we are called, friends, to breathe new life and fresh hope into our communities, into Minehead, or into wherever you are this morning. We, friends, are a people of hope. And if our neighbourhoods are going to see that Jesus' love and hope for them, and heart, love and hope for the nation, then the only person who can truly do that this morning, where you are, is you. Be encouraged this morning that the Lord loves you and gives you hope. Hope born not out of desperation or of human intellect, but hope that comes from the reality of who Jesus is. And many Christians are saying our hope is gone and we're cut off. But what if that's not right? What if God is doing something in our time by his Spirit to recreate us, to fill us again? And in filling us, to animate and refresh and revitalize our churches and resurrect us and awaken us at this time? What if our season of despair, in our season of despair, God is actually unleashing a mighty army? There are signs up and down the country that this is happening, and in no way do I think this is going to be something that happens automatically. But as an example, remember, we here at NBC are praying more than we have ever done collectively before. And remember what God says in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. It's surely against that reality this morning that we remind ourselves that we all need the compassion of the Lord, that we all need the mercy of the Lord, that we all need the forgiveness of the Lord, and that ultimately our Lord is mighty to save and mighty in his compassion. Friends, we're going to be led in worship this morning by Roy and Jenny. You should be able to see them on the screen, we hope and pray, as they lead us in Everyone Needs Compassion. Morning. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we gather together remotely today to come and worship you and recognize you as Lord of all. And now, as we enter this time, let us lay down our worries before you now. We thank you again that through the wonders of technology, once again, we are able to gather like this. We thank you for your unfailing love and commitment to us. Our Father, we pray. In some ways, it feels like we pray now like never before, but we pray, Lord, for an end to this virus. And we pray that the work that is going on in it might continue, that we might see a new way of things. And we pray for those who are suffering from the virus around the world. We pray that even as different countries react in different ways, those ways might be the ways that are appropriate for them. And we pray for those in hospital, that they might feel your healing hand. We pray for those who even now are struggling financially. We pray that they may know where they can find help
And we say sorry, Lord, for all those sins that we do, that we might know that you, through your Son, have forgiven us. We pray for peace, Lord, that we might know your peace on us now. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome on this lovely Sunday morning. If you don't know, my name's Mark. I'm the youth worker here at Minehead Baptist Church. I want to say a really warm welcome and well done to anyone who got onto the Spring Harvest websites, the YouTube channels this week from the young people's point of view. There were some really good things. And don't forget, we're doing the Bible studies when we get back, when we're on the other side. Okay? We're doing the Bible study, so if you've got anything you can watch on that, just watch it. It'll be really useful looking at Acts. Now, I've been really lucky in my life. I've managed to travel to lots of different places and been to lots of different sort of shows, museums, things that are of interest. And a long time ago, I went to New York and I went to a museum called, believe it or not, Ripley's Museum. And there were some incredible things in there. And there's a really interesting book which they put out every year. And it's called the all-new Ripley's Believe It or Not. This is 2020. It's not the book. I couldn't buy it. Smith's is shut. Okay? But I managed to get the picture off the internet. But in that book, there is some incredible things. Did you know, right? A man named James Cook once had a chicken that laid a perfectly square egg. Now, I've seen white eggs, I've seen chocolate eggs, I've seen brown eggs, I've seen spotted eggs, but I've never seen a square egg. Have you seen it? Do you believe it? I think I'd need to see it to believe it. Now, another girl, Joan Barnes, she was a 15-year-old from California, and she once swung a lot of hula hoops. That's hard to say if you're from Birmingham, hula hoops. Okay, she swung those on her body. Now, I'm going to have to ask you now, can you guess how many hula hoops she swung on her body? Go on, guess. No, keep going higher. No, or not that many. No, not that many. All right. If you said 68, you were bang on. She swung 68 hula hoops around her body. Now, I'm not going to do this because we've got technology, but I can't even do one, right? One. I can put it on my head, I can put it on my arm, but not round my body. So I'm just going to do that for a little while. Okay. Now, here's another one. Who likes hot dogs? Oh, I love hot dogs. Right? I bet you didn't know that the world's largest hot dog was, go on, guess again, how many feet do you think the largest hot dog was? 3,000 feet long. Can you imagine the size of the bun you're going to need for that? Eh? The world's largest hot dog was 3,000 feet. It weighed 885 pounds and it took 103 butchers to carry it. Right? I'd have to see it to believe it. This book was filled with lots of things that were hard for me to believe, hard for me to see when I was walking around that museum. But do you know what? If it's true, it's true, whether I believe it or not. And in today's Bible lesson, we learn that on a Sunday that Jesus rose from the grave, he appeared to a group of his disciples. And one of his disciples, whose name was Thomas, was not there. And when the disciples told Thomas that they'd seen Jesus and that he was alive, guess what Thomas said? I won't believe it until I see it with my own eyes. I want to put my finger in the nail prints in his hands, and I want to place my hand where the spear was thrust into his side. Now, a week later, Thomas saw Jesus. Jesus invited Thomas to touch his hands where the nails had been. And he told Thomas to put his hands in the wound in his side. And guess what? Thomas believed. Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe." Guess what today? A lot of people won't believe that Jesus really rose from the grave because they haven't seen him with their own two eyes. Do you know what? It's true whether they believe it or not. If it's true, it's true. You and I have never seen Jesus, but we believe. We accept him by faith, and we don't have to see it to believe it. Have a really good week, everyone, and remember, stay safe.
Friends, as we get used to technology, as we try and do a bit more each week, it's lovely to be able to say that we've been able to get James Cooper, a techie guy, to record for us an amazing piece of scripture that deals with the reality Mark was just talking about. So if you've got a Bible, I invite you to turn with me to John chapter 20, verse 19. As these words come on the screen, they're the story of Jesus appearing to his disciples and appearing to Thomas.
John chapter 20, verses 19 to 29. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger in where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hands and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed.
We were nearly there with that, weren't we? We'll get there, but I want to thank James and Richard for working hard on the technology that we used this week. We were close, as they say, so close. But nonetheless, if you heard James or you were reading scripture where you are, you will have got the gist. I realised I didn't introduce myself at the beginning. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Paul. I'm one of the ministers here at Minehead Baptist Church. And so I'm sorry, I confess that I didn't do that at the beginning. But I also have another confession. Here goes. I like Thomas. Why? Because Thomas is very real. He simply doesn't just go along with the crowd. And let's be honest, it's so easy, isn't it, to go along with the crowd? Perhaps even more so now than before. Maybe easy to agree with people who say there is no hope and there is no fear than to stand in and saying, my hope is in Jesus Christ. It's easy to go along with the crowd, so easy to simply acquiesce, to say yes, because others say yes. I like Thomas, because it seems to me that he doesn't sort of doubt for some form of mental aerobics, but his doubting is with purpose, and that purpose, friends, is to believe. The Lord wants you to come to him. However you find yourself this morning, wherever you are, however many doubts you have, come. Not so that he can rap you over the knuckles as some form of punishment. He never does that to Thomas, does he? He does not punish him for not believing. But so that he can meet you in those doubts and that you may have faith. And that you may believe. In a way, as we read that story, we can see that Thomas invites Jesus into his doubt. And guess what? Jesus accepts the invitation. Revelation chapter 3, 19 to 20 says this: those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Please note what it's not. Jesus does not say in those words spoken in Revelation to John, listen, I'm going to come in and sort it out, sort you out. I'm going to come in and force you to be my way. He doesn't say, I'm going to barge my way in. Let's get the job done. But rather, God's only Son says to you, amazingly says to you this morning, I respond to you. I wait on you. And when you respond to me, then I will be with you. And we will eat together. Eat together. Imagine how intimate that is. Perhaps at this time, we get a sense of how intimate that is like none other. Because none of us can eat with each other, only with our immediate family, those around us. Jesus is offering to be intimate with you, to share a meal with you. Imagine that, sharing a meal with the one that came and saved you, God's only Son. Amazing and intimate indeed. For someone listening today, I want to say this to you, that the Lord has given me a word for you. A word that comes to you in this virtual situation, because I believe you need to hear it. So here goes. As you're listening this morning, you have doubts about who Jesus really is, about who he says you are, indeed about what he's asking you to do for him. And over the years, and friends, I believe it's been years, you've heard him call you, but you've never responded because in one sense you've held your doubts tightly. You don't want to let them go because those doubts you have become the solid rock of your belief. They have become what you believe. And this morning, like never before, Jesus wants you to take those words from Revelation seriously. He's knocking. You know he is. And he longs for you to open the door, to eat with him, to be intimate with him. If that spoke to you, can I ask you to get in touch with me, either by ringing me if you have my phone number, or by emailing me if you don't, paul@minehead-baptist.com. And let's chat about what the Lord's saying to you. Now I, like the rest of the world, have been following the daily briefings on the coronavirus. The other day I was talking to someone from this church who said they too had been following those briefings, and they'd noticed that the journalists were saying that many are living in fear. And they'd found themselves living in that same fear. They were prompted by one of our daily 10 a.m. live stream prayer times to ask the Lord why they were living in fear. And he told them, gently told them, through affirmation in their spirit and through scripture, that they'd got things the wrong way round. And he wanted them to live in faith. They said that since that day, they were still anxious and worried, and yes, they had some fear, but they no longer lived in fear. They were learning once again to live in faith. Expressing doubt, declaring the real deep down reality, the real, real me, not only keeps it real, but just like Thomas, we find Jesus meets us in that reality. Right where we are, not where we would like to be or feel we ought to be, not where we think others believe us to be, but right where we are. Jesus deals with our fears and our doubts, our questions, by simply being there. And then, friends, he does something amazing. He centers us in on who he is and his love, and we find ourselves living in faith. At this moment in history of our nation and indeed of the church, I believe the Lord is calling us, maybe in a way like never before, to keep it real. As Jeff Lucas said this past week as part of Spring Harvest at Home, we could in one sense spend all our time asking the question, why is this happening? But for me, the better question to be asking now is, what should we do? To paraphrase him, historically, during times of incredible turbulence, the church has shone in the darkness. So how should we shine for Jesus here, now, wherever you are this morning, whatever your circumstances? How can you and I shine in the darkness? And even if we did, what difference would it make? As I was pondering that, God reminded me of something. We have a unique opportunity at this time we've never had before. Now, many of you know I became a Christian when I was 16. And when I was 16, I took part in something very different for me. A group of four of us from the church I attended were persuaded, would be the best way to put this, by a lovely Christian man called Roy to take part in a local fire prevention quiz. I had no idea what we was doing, didn't know what on earth it was, and I'm sure some of you are saying, what on earth is that? What it was the fire brigade nationally at the time were running a quiz for young people, and I came from this estate whereby, let's just say, in reality, there would often be people ringing up the fire brigade just for fun. This national quiz came about to make young people more aware of what the fire brigade did and more fire risk aware. I hope you get the point and the picture. Not only did we win the local quiz, but we also won the county quiz. And we won the southern quiz. And we came second in the national quiz. I'd like to say we was robbed on that last question, but frankly, it just wouldn't be true. One thing I learned was how to set a fire. If you're serious about completely destroying something, I'm not going to tell you how exactly, because this is going out on the airwaves. But suffice to say, I will tell you that the best way of making sure that the fire takes hold is to light it in multiple places. If I am on fire for the Lord this morning here where I am, and you are on fire for the Lord where you are, and everyone listening to this, either by way of direct link or by way of CD, is on fire for the Lord where they are, then quite frankly, what we will have, what we will set, is a spiritual fire in our community, in this nation, that the enemy simply cannot snub out. To do so, friends, will require us to do something that historically, in times of pestilence and disease, the church has shown. Thomas's story calls us to show two things: courage and faith. It is what, surely, the church exists to do. And let me tell you about courage. Courage does not come from an absence of fear, but from an abundance of faith. Thomas misses out on seeing Jesus that first time because he's not with the other disciples. Grief has driven him away. And in seeking isolation, he's missed Christ's coming. I need to tell you that whenever we gather back together, I believe with all my heart and my spirit and with every fibre of faith I have within me that Jesus will do something dynamic among us. Maybe on the day we gather again, maybe in the weeks and months that follow that event. That's his business. It's his timing. But nonetheless, I have faith that he will do it. And he's going to do it at a time that most glorifies God, not when your social diary allows you to be there, not when it's convenient for you, or indeed when you feel like it. He'll do it when it glorifies God the most, and not when the worship has been exactly as you think it should be, or when the talk has been amazing, or when you're able to come to church without any distractions because nothing else is taking your attention. He'll do it, whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do, however he wants to do it. And the question is not will he do it, but whether, just like Thomas, will you be there? His word to you, friend, during this time is do not give up meeting, either virtually or by way of CD. And when possible, gather again, whether you feel like it or not. And then in his grief, Thomas made his priority being alone. He sought solitude rather than fellowship. I've said before, and I'll say again, and you'll hear me repeating, I suspect, many times, never again will we take meeting as a church for granted. Never. But we will be taking it for granted once again if, when the tough moments of life come along, we decide that we need simply me time. We seek solitude rather than fellowship and community. I'm going to stagger you now with a statement. Are you ready? This church is not perfect. The preacher, not the best in the world. The minister, not as good looking as others. There are probably 1,001 things you could name personally that make it a reality that this church is not as perfect as it could be, as you hope it is. But Jesus did not call you to be part of the perfect church. He called you to be part of the local church. It's amazing, wherever you are in the UK and beyond, to welcome you as part of the NBC church family at this time. Even if that's temporary, and even if that's through the use of technology. And when this time of isolation is over, if you live near Minehead, to be able to welcome you here in person, or to encourage you wherever you are today, to be part of a living, local, loving church. Because we have a problem. For those of us who call ourselves Christian, Jesus invites us to express again our commitment to his local church. In 2014, the British Attitude Survey said that 5% of the UK population said they regularly attend church. And of that 5%, less than one third said they attend church each week. Where did I get the statistic? Of an atheist website that said churchgoers' attendance tells us that even they think church is irrelevant. Being together has become an individualized, selfie decision. It's as if satiety tells us, lies to us actually, that we can get the same buzz we get from being together at church in other ways, and we should only go to church if we feel we're going to get something from it. As if meeting as a church is about how we feel, rather than worshipping who God is. I know this is going to be controversial, what I'm about to say, but here goes. Let's stop attending church and going to church. Let's stop it. Rather, let's be committed to church, grafted into the family of God. You can be committed to church and not be committed to Christ, but you cannot be committed to Christ and not be committed to church. At this time, you and I are called by the Lord to show courage and faith like never before. And when we're able to meet again, praise God, we will not retreat into our shell like some sort of giant spiritual tortoise. But we will continually express courage and faith. So let me end with a declaration of faith. The other day, in a very prominent church, a very prominent church figure in the UK said live on TV that the church in this country was closed. Let me declare to the world, to this nation, to our community, no, it is not. Church is not closed. We are finding new ways of being church together, but we are still being church. And nothing, no fear or persecution, and certainly no virus will stop us. I declare that the Church of Jesus Christ, this church, will never be shut for business, will never be shut down. And then I declare this. The Church of Jesus Christ will never be silenced. No matter how much pressure comes upon the church to conform to an atheistic view that what we have to say is irrelevant in this modern world. Let me declare, in a world gripped by a pandemic, the good news of Jesus has never been so relevant. And I, for one, this church as a whole, the worldwide church, will never be silenced in declaring Jesus is Lord. And then I declare this. To the enemy, you may think a virus, which means church doors are shut, would stop us. But our God is amazing, has given us the means to communicate in a new way. And far from reaching less people, the message of the good news of Jesus Christ is reaching more people than ever before. We will never be defeated. Why? Because Jesus himself cannot be closed down. Jesus cannot be silenced. And he is victorious, so we will never be defeated. And so therefore I say, as we sang last week, the words that were playing before this service began. No more we doubt thee, glorious Prince of Life. Life is naught without thee. Aid us in our strife. Make us more than conquerors through thy risen love. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou, O death, hast won. Amen. There's so much, friends, that's unknown about this current situation, but one thing I know for sure, God is still God. In ways we've not even begun to imagine, I believe that our living, loving Lord wants us to reach out beyond these walls to those who need to hear the good news of Jesus. God will be sovereign as he works through this crisis with us. So that if the church is ready, and the gospel is preached with courage, and the poor are served with compassion, we will see great things happen in the life of church, in the life of this church. And all of that begins with each of us. So we're going to let the Holy Spirit minister to us, to change us, so that the church will change. And as the Spirit changes us, so he will change the church, this church forever. And all that starts with the reality, because all of that change comes when God pours out his grace into our lives, his amazing grace. God doesn't give us this grace because we deserve it, but rather he gives it to us because it's how much he loves us. So this morning we're going to use that song, Amazing Grace, as a song of response. Roy and Jenny will lead us. Please sing with us, either using the song sheet or if you know the words, just join in. Sing with us wherever you are. But as you do so, recognize that this is your prayer to your Lord, an invitation for him to fill you anew, once again, with his amazing grace. Let's worship together, friends. And so, friends, we end in prayer. Father, Jesus revealed your grace to us, showed us how to live a life full of grace, as he also revealed your love to us. And your Spirit reveals your mercy, grace, and love to us in countless ways every day. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what our reality. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We acknowledge before humanity, the whole of the world, that your grace is truly amazing. And we pray blessing on each and every one of us, that we may show that amazing grace to all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. And remember that every day at 10 a.m. on Facebook, we're streaming live sessions of prayer. So you're very welcome to join us there. So thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.